Yes, you're still tuning into The Pulse, bringing you the latest in the music world and fresh new music. My name is Afni Ting, together with my special guest,
Ali Johan.
Up next, we're talking about music demos, you know, from something as serious as COVID-19. Now we move on to music demos. So recently, Mac DeMarco, everyone's favorite slacker rock star.
Mr. Viceroy, yes.
He just announced the release of his demo versions of his last album, Here Comes the Cowboy. And, you know, Mac DeMarco has been doing this for a while now with all of his albums, actually. You know, after the release of each album that he puts out, he would also release a raw demo version of each of his albums, where fans are invited into a more intimate and sometimes very rough take on his music that is very different from the familiar versions that you can get on Spotify. And our traditional thinking would be that, you know, demo versions are things that fans should never hear. In fact, some artists would never want their fans to listen to demo versions, right? I mean, why would you want to let fans listen to unfinished and unpolished versions of your music? Sometimes there are mistakes and, well, it'd be pretty funny to hear the wrong chord and stuff. But more importantly, would it even sell if you, you know, release demo versions of your album?
That's the thing, right? I mean, different bands take on different mentalities to these things. I think some bands really want their listeners to have a look at the full product when it's ready. Whereas other bands and musicians maybe like that connection you make. Somehow fans like behind the scenes. Yeah,
fans love it.
Right? And things that are in progress, they want to know where you're at and how it sounded like before it became the single that it is. So it's really unique way to engage with your fans. I think Mac DeMarco is one of those very friendly indie pop stars out there, and such a Mac DeMarco thing to do.
In fact, reading the comments right from all his previous demos that he's released, a lot of fans say that they actually prefer the demo version compared to the more polished version. I think the need for a track to sound very glossy and polished can be traced back to the radio, where I guess many tracks were rejected if it doesn't meet a certain standard level of audio quality, right? And it's the same here at BFM. Although we love certain songs that we receive, sometimes we just can't play it due to the quality if it sounds like it was recorded in a room.
Yeah, I mean, quality is subjective, but yeah, you can tell that we play high fidelity stuff. I think most radio stations do too. And demos are technically still a work in progress. I don't know if it's okay to.
Yeah, but now thanks to the internet, I guess, and listening habits are different to an extent where consumption habits are different as well. So there's this untapped market of demos as a way to stretch out the profitability of an album's worth of content, right? Normally, when an artist releases an album, to come out with more products to sell, the label would come out with like a remix album. But with Mac DeMarco, he has really gamed the system to come out with demos as well, because I guess the thought is that those demo tracks are already in your hard drive, so might as well sell it to fans that want to hear it, even though it's not radio friendly.
Yeah, you're right about the internet age. Kevin Parker is another example of a guy who likes to share work in progress files on his personal SoundCloud or pages like that. Radiohead are another band, I think, that always slip in a demo or a B-side or two.
They know how to please the fans.
Yeah, and every time they do the special edition extended records, they always sell out. So it's clear that at least there is a market, there is a demand for unfinished products, demo versions of popular songs.
Yeah.
And I think it depends on the song as well. I think if you were to listen to, like, say, I don't know, Radiohead's High and Dry or a classic tune like Creep in its demo version, then maybe it will give you a certain sense of achievement. But if the song is not that popular, I don't think there's real need in giving people the demo.
Yeah, but I find it fascinating that a lot of fans really love the stripped back vibe of demos, and, you know, without all the glossiness of the mastering process, and it really presents the artist in a very raw way.
Yeah, and I think it makes you sound human as well,
yes,
right? Because like you said, sometimes you tekan the wrong chord, or, you know, something doesn't work out quite as well as you hope it to be. So maybe that are the little things that music fans, or especially followers of certain musos, you know, Mac DeMarco fans, Kevin Parker fans, they are really into those things, perhaps.
And also because they are producers as well, they produce all their own stuff. So I'm sure a lot of fans that are budding producers as well want to know the behind the scenes of the final product, right?
Yeah, and I want to know, like, Mariah Carey or Diana Ross fans, would you be into,
I'll listen to it.
Into demos, yeah. Who knows?
You know, I recently dug up an old interview that I did with local folk musician Azmil Yuno when he released his Ampang Park EP, which is an EP that consists of demos that he recorded on his phone and he forgot, but he stumbled upon it again and decided to put it in an EP. Since musicians would usually want to up the ante sonically in the production with each release being more complex sound-wise, I asked him why he decided to keep it raw and make the EP sound demo-like, allowing more grit and graininess.
Well, it was a really spontaneous decision. I don't think in terms of this sort of progressive thing, like, yeah, I must get better and more and more, you know. Even though sonically, I think my last three full-length albums did have that trajectory. Started with Warga, then I had Wilaya, and then I think Was 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 probably both produced, and you could say arrangement-wise, a bit more busy and complex stuff with Orkes Padu. But I've always been doing this kind of stuff, and I think I was a bit missing the joy. Of course, I was going through my phone. I was traveling last year, and I found songs on this. And when I listened back, because I use the phone recorder as a demo recording, but then I realized some of these songs are fully formed, and it really harkened back to my earlier cassettes when I recorded. Things are very instantaneous, spontaneous, and I felt that, maybe let's listen to it. So I went through a few of it.
I think what he said is very true. You know, it's important to keep things spontaneous, especially with music making sometimes. Listeners tend to forget that in the recording environment nowadays, it's all about multi-tracking.
Yes.
And you can redo the mistakes like over and over again. So some of the final product that you're hearing is actually, they have recorded that same guitar line for like a couple thousand times.
Yeah. And I mean, studio engineers would hate this word, punch in.
Oof.
They always don't like it. But I mean, I totally get what Azmil is saying. Although, you know, I don't know, again, I think sketches, right? These demos are sketches that he found on his phone. It's quite interesting that you can actually find value in it.
Yeah.
They are obviously, you know, uncut, unpolished diamonds.
Yeah.
And then he stood behind it and put it out in an EP. You know, that's a big call.
And also with demos, I think you would leave mistakes in, making those mistakes part of the track. And it's kind of interesting to know that some legends make mistakes too.
That's,
you know,
right.
If we could get a chance to listen to Mariah Carey's demos or what, I think it would be pretty fascinating to hear her mistakes. I came across lots of demos from the Beatles on YouTube, and fans are loving it. Let me just play this clip. It's a demo. It's one of those early takes from when the Beatles recorded Oh Darling, and you can hear all the mistakes that they did in this demo. Check it out.
See, that goes C minor to F.
It goes C minor to F. You can hear him giving the chords. And sounds like Ringo hasn't really nailed the drum part yet.
Yeah, it sounds like none of them have nailed any part there. But I think, you know, that's the beauty in that. They will never put that as part of the first release.
Yeah.
So the first release is normally like the most polished and the best version. And that's the full length. These kinds of additions normally come in like a box set, deluxe, blah, 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 reissue. And then they chuck in all these demos. But wow, it's so great to hear.
Yeah, I think more bands should come out with their demos, right? First takes.
Listening to, like, I don't know, John Lennon giving an instruction to the drummer is just like, whoosh.
Paul McCartney.
Oh, it's crazy.
But since we're talking about demos, right, I think I should also mention the case of Jennifer Lopez. Now, don't get me wrong, I think she has done a lot for the Latino community. But as a singer, she has come under fire a lot of times for some shady business. Because she's been known to use demos of other singers in her own songs and making people believe that it's her own voice. Because
what?
It's common knowledge that most like pop artists have like other people writing their songs, right? So when they present the songs to, let's say, Jennifer Lopez, they will normally present it in a demo or a reference track. And Jennifer Lopez, well, she basically took the demo and put it in the final product and made people believe that it was her. Now, check this one out. Jennifer Lopez. BX. Don't be fooled by the rocks that I got. I'm still Jenny from the block. Used to have a little, now I have a lot. No matter where I go, I know where I came from. From the Bronx. Don't be fooled by the rocks that I got. I'm still Jenny from the block. Yeah, that's not J-Lo.
Oh, no.
That's actually Natasha Ramos who wrote that song. And if you heard it just now, the chorus is exactly the same with the final product. So Jennifer Lopez actually just took Natasha's vocals from the demo into the final product and she did not credit her.
I would at least think that she could have sung over it or something, but
nope.
It sounds exactly like, you know, the real version.
Or at least credit her as a featuring artist.
But who is Natasha Ramos?
Since she wasn't featured, I guess her fate would have been different if she was. Yeah. Let us know, do you have a favorite demo song or maybe like a favorite artist or band that you would like to hear the demo of? You can let us know. Tweet us at BFM Radio or WhatsApp us 018-789-8899. Coming up, we have our rapid fire music news segment, by the way. But first up, since we're talking about demos, let's play a song from Beatles. It's a demo version released as a single for the Beatles anthology documentary and compilation album. And the recording of this next song was based off John Lennon's demo that he recorded on tape at home. And that demo was used as a reference for the final mix where the remaining members of the Beatles all performed on. It's a great one. One of my favorite demos.
Check it out.
John Lennon Free as a Bird demo version right here on The Pulse, BFM 89.9.